Mikey and Ren Eden,
yum.
A show about the serious and not so serious parts of our edible world. Let's eat.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Mikey and Ren Eden. This is Mikey. Did you forget? Did we forget? Yeah, it's been a minute. I don't even know how many minutes. We have a two-year-old, so time is just a construct at this point. There's no reality to it. And it's been months, maybe 6 months since we put out a podcast. But I just wanted to come here and say that we are not leaving you. We're not abandoning you. We are in between, we're setting up, we're building, we're refueling, and then we're going to bring you some more Mikey and Ren Eat In content with Mikey and Ren, the titular characters in this podcast. But there's just been a lot of stuff happening, a lot of life getting in the way. One of the things that has been taking up a fair amount of my time, but also bringing me a lot of joy, is that I've been doing some storytelling, some on-stage storytelling. A lot of this is happening in Portland. I did actually just have a little clip on the Valentine's Day episode of Modern Love, just a mini clip. But I've been doing these kind of 8 to 15 minute stories about all sorts of different things. Some funny, some sad, some hungry. We got some food content. And yeah, I thought that since I'm the thirsty one out of the two, the Mikey and the Rin, I thought that I would bring you a little in person, in your ears, just for you, bespoke storytelling event. And I would bring some of my stories to our podcast feed, especially the ones that have to do with food. And so, yeah, so I'm going to do a couple of these probably before we do our first or next episode featuring Rennie and I. But this is the first one, and I don't know what I'm calling them. Mini bites? Storytizers? I haven't really thought of anything yet. I haven't found the name, but something will come to me and come to you. So my first story that I'm going to tell today is a story that I told recently at an event in Beaverton, Oregon. And it was a really cool storytelling show kind of based around a thing that they do in Beaverton where they the whole city kind of reads one book at the same time. And then they discuss it. And I don't actually know what the book was. I can't really remember. But basically, there was four total storytellers. And we were kind of told that it was loosely based around kind of family and change. And everybody told these really profound stories, and I kind of told a fun one that actually also had some kind of profundity to it. But so I thought I would share that to you. I told this a couple weeks ago live. It's also, I will link to the YouTube video of that performance of it. And so it's a story about my grandmother's, and it's told, I'll just tell you it. I'll tell you it. It's told through food. And I'm calling this story Gramwiches. I'm a chef, and a lot of chefs and a lot of people in the food industry have these lovely, quiet, soft stories about learning to cook with their grandmothers and getting kind of these generational recipes passed down to them, from the soft hands and the apron of their grandmothers. I don't have that story. I don't have that foundational story for my cooking world from my grandmothers. I don't really have any cooking memories of my grandmothers. I don't really have any memories of my grandmothers even eating. They were both, first of all, they were both kind of not that sort of like soft, cuddly grandmother that I think a lot of people's grandmothers are. I fully recognize that a lot of grandmothers are not that. My grandmothers were kind of particularly, they had their way of showing love, but they were a little bit more hard-edged. Both had big personalities, but they were not necessarily like sit on my lap while I sing to you and rock you to sleep. Secondly, they also just were not big I don't really remember food with them. Definitely neither of them really cooked, but food was definitely not a big part of my memory of them. Grandjan. Grandjan was my dad's mother, and she was a bird, kind of in the way that she looked. She was super slight. I think she probably had hollow bones, and I think that she subsisted on, at least when I was there, my family was there, off of the crumbs from the four sandwiches that my four-person family would buy from a local deli. This was a normal amount of food for a normal group of four people to order, but Grandjan would spend the entire trip that we were there basically just commenting over and over again on how disgusting the quantity of food was that we got with these four sandwiches. And I think she would maybe just hoover up the crumbs that were on the ground, and that was what she subsisted upon while telling us that we were fat, over-consuming Americans. Marnie. Now, Marnie was my mother's mother, and she was, Marnie was the most, first of all, probably the most Catholic person that ever lived. She was dressed, dripped out, basically all the time in tracksuits, sort of kind of shiny, crinkly tracksuits, and like a gigantic Jesus piece. So like a gold or silver Jesus piece. She dressed like Slick Rick or like a 90s rapper. She was amazing. She had a perm. She was great. My memories of what she would consume was basically like a polite gin and tonic. So like a little gin and tonic and the body of Christ. She would go to church probably 87 times a week and get that body of Christ, baby. My grandmothers, they were loving in their own way. And while I never cooked with either of them, food was foundational in my memories of them, and particularly summer food. I lived about 3,000 miles away from them, and so I often saw them in the summer. And the ultimate summer food that I relate to them is the sandwich. Handheld. It's food for running away from your older cousins, escaping the hug of a needy aunt. It's food eaten with lake wet hands. It's food eaten with my grandmother's. Grandjan. Chicken salad, grapes, pecans, on a toasted pillowy white roll. I'm on Grandjan's couch. Andre Agassi is sweating on the TV in the background. I'm sweating on the couch because it's 95 degrees outside with 95% humidity in August, and there's a broken AC struggling in the corner to keep up. Andre Agassi was the big love of my grandmother's life. She loved him above anyone else. And I was a tennis player, so I was trying at all times to kind of stack up to Andre Agassi, both in his tennis ability, but also in his fashion choices. So my little sweaty pink body was sitting on this couch, probably wearing fluorescent green and a headband, all sorts of things, very cool shoes, of course. Grandjan was trying to read, and she was in her chair. And you know what her chair looked like. It was, you know, like soft leather. I want to say pleather. Broken in almost every way, but just like impossibly soft, right? You'd sit into it and it would absorb her whole bird body into it. And in one hand, she had her book. And then in the other hand, she had a palm full of iodized salt that she would wet her finger and then dip it into the palm full of salt and then bring it to her mouth. Yeah, so she was eating breadcrumbs and then salt. So yeah, she was basically a barnyard animal, a tiny little one, a little chicken. I was sitting on the couch and I was telling her about my friends from high school, and I was showing her pictures, and she was interested. I mean, she was more interested than she needed to be, but she would make comments about their clothing, of course, and about their weights, and maybe some mild kind of racist comments. And, you know, she was just being a grandma, but she had a warm heart around it. And I told her that I think I was falling in love for the first time. And she finished her salt, and I finished my sandwich. And she took me into a hug, and I hugged her little bird body. And she held the hug for longer than I know she was comfortable with. This is her loving me, and I feel it. a fluffernutter on Wonder Bread. Granjan makes a comment about my swimsuited cousin, and she says, "Do you find her attractive?" Right. Now, I know the answer to this question. I know the correct answer, but it's confusing. This is a cousin that I see once every 2 years. I'm 14 years old, and I don't know how I'm supposed to answer this question if I'm being truthful. So I take a big bite of my salty and sickeningly sweet sandwich, and I try to think about baseball. I don't know anything about baseball. I sure wish I did in that moment. Ham and Swiss, tons of French's yellow mustard on toasted Pepperidge Farm white bread. Granjan is 97, and she's telling us about the group that she has started in her house for LGBTQ kids that have been either kicked out or kind of disowned by their families, or that are just having a really hard time with coming out. She was amazing. She was so awesome. 97, she was doing this. She also is telling us about how she wants to die. Now, this might sound sad or this might sound shocking, but she's been doing this for like 15 or 20 years, and she's perfectly healthy. She is 97 at this point, but she's been doing this for so long and just talking about it. And we're all just, it's become a joke, but also just something we're just kind of sick of hearing. I place some Funyuns inside my sandwich, and I wince when I bite it at the vinegar from the mustard. This will be the last time that I see Granjan. This will be the last sandwich that I eat with her. Granjan died on the first night that my father's siblings were all under the same roof in 10 or 15 years. She fell asleep, and she died. It was a hero's death, and it was really beautiful. Marnie. Club sandwich. Stuffed with potato chips. Triple-decker club sandwich, I just want to clarify. I'm wearing tennis whites. Yes, there are places in the country in this day and age that you still have to wear white, all white clothes to play on tennis courts. Gross. My tennis whites are imperfect. They're covered with clay, green clay, and blood from elbow, skin, knees. I was going hard in the paint for that forehand. Come on. Marnie is sitting in her chair. Her chair was different than Granjan's chair, but it was, you know, energetically, spiritually, it was the same chair. And she is trying to do her New York Times crossword puzzle that she does every single day, before and maybe after church that she goes to on all those days. And I'm sitting there eating my sandwich, bleeding all over her couch probably. And I'm trying to tell her all of my fun stories from home. I'm telling her about my dog. I'm telling her about my skateboard tricks that I've learned recently. She doesn't really want to listen to me, but she's listening to me. And she's replying kind of every once in a while with, Marnie had this way of talking that was like kind of like a New York Muppet. She had this wild accent, and she would say, yeah, but she would say, yeah, 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 yeah. It's like my biggest memory of her. And so everything that I would say, no matter what it was, even if I was asking her a question or whatever, she would say, yeah, 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 yeah. I eat my crunchy sandwich. She stands up. She's done. I don't think she's done with the crossword puzzle, but she's definitely done with me. She leans in and she presses her kind of fleshy hands around my hand. And she pushes two perfumed $20 bills into my palm. And she says, "You're a sweet boy, Mikey." It's like a secret. She loves me. Maybe I'm her favorite. I have 30-ish cousins on this side, so the odds are kind of stacked against me, but let's be real, I'm her favorite. PB&J, creamy, gross, peanut butter, and grape jelly on weird expensive bread. I only want crunchy peanut butter. And so my whole summer when I was with my grandmothers, I had to eat creamy peanut butter, and it felt like an assault. I'm eating my peanut butter and jelly. Marnie's Alzheimer's is progressing, and it is amazing. It's so fantastic. This is the most conservative woman that I've ever met, still to this day. And she is someone that you never really got the real her. But with her dementia, you're getting this kind of window into who she really is. And it's fantastic. I'm finally seeing this person that I've known my whole life. Basically, she wants to do three things. Drink gin and tonics. Laugh loudly enough that she almost falls out of her chair and or gets kicked out of restaurants that we go to. And it's amazing. It's so fun. Also, she wants to talk about sex and off-color things. Holy shit. We have found a connection point. These are my three favorite things in the world, and I get to do them now with my grandmother. It's amazing. She was so fun and so loose, but we also knew that it was fleeting. I ate up the stories. I soaked up her unbridled affection. The fun side of a woman that I'd never really known. Crab roll on a butter griddled hot dog bun. Yeah, with a gin and tonic. Come on. We're with Marnie on the porch. It's a breezy, humid summer night. The sound, the air is punctuated by all of my New Yorker family telling their side of the story. This is the first time that my fiance, my soon-to-be wife, has ever met Marnie, and we're sitting with her on a bench. I'm wearing this kind of silver cuff bracelet, a lot like one that Marnie would probably wear. I think she's going to love it. Marnie is kind of at this point, you don't really know what she's going to say. She's not really saying much. I think she knows to be a little bit reserved, but she's had a couple G&Ts and she's looking a little wild-eyed, and I can't wait. So she's looking at my fiance. She's looking at me. She's looking down at my silver cuff bracelet. She looks back up at me, back down to the bracelet, and she lifts her head towards me and she says, "What are you, a pansy?" And I don't really know what she's talking about in that moment. I don't really know what pansy means. I think we all know what pansy means. I think we know what she's implying. And yeah, by her rubric, I'm for sure a pansy. And glad to be called that by my grandmother about this bracelet. It's wonderful. This is the first time that my wife will ever hear her speak. This is one of the last substantive things that Marnie will ever say to me. And it's the last time that I'll see her live. Marnie slipped away slowly under a nervous rotation of children and nurses. My uncle's new wife took a photo of her, a selfie at the wake. So I might not have recipe cards that are stained with the ingredients from my family's generational recipes, captured in scratchy handwriting and passed down from my grandmother's. But I can find my grandmother's anytime that I want to, wherever a deli is open, between two slices of bread. Da-da. That's the end of the story. Are you crying? Are you mopping up your tears with club sandwich bread? I hope you like the story. I love telling stories. Doesn't my voice sound delicious while I tell them? I have all of my stories kind of have some sort of food element in them because it's kind of the way that I think about things. Everything kind of relates to food on some level. But I'll tell some other stories very soon on this podcast. We love you guys so much. We are very glad to be repopulating or keep populating your feed of the Mikey and Rin Eat In podcast universe. We hope that you haven't missed us too much, but we have lots of different stuff coming up on our socials. Mikey and Rin Eat In. It's Mikey and Rin on Instagram at Mikey and Rin. And then my personal Instagram, which is probably something that I focus on a little bit too much, or at least more than that one, is at Mikey Sheether, S-H-E-T-H-A-R. And that's on Instagram. But we love you guys. We're going to be coming back to you. I'm probably going to hit you with another story or two. And then at some point here, Rinny will be back on the microphone. I'm going to drop in a little bit of Riggs on the microphone either before or after this episode. I hope you guys like hearing his squeaky little funny voice. But we're still here. We're still eating. We're still making bad, stupid, crude jokes about penises and stuff. So we're going to talk to you real soon. This is Mikey signing out. Love you. Say, talking to the microphone right here and say, hello, my name is Riggy Sheether.
Hello, buddy, I'm Riggy Sheether.
Where are you from?
Daddy.
You're from Daddy?
Yeah.
No, but where? What city do you live in?
In Portland, Oregon.
Yeah? And how old are you?
3.
No, you're not 3. How old are you?
3.
You're not 3.
I'm 2.
You're 2. Okay, you want to say, hello, Mikey and Rin eat in?
Hello, Rin. Hello, Rin.
Say, Mikey and Rin eat in. Mikey?
Eat Rin.
Mikey eat Rin. There you go. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.